The Little Book of Hygge. Written and read by Mike Viking. Introduction. Hitch? Hygge? It's not important how you choose to pronounce or even spell Hygge. To paraphrase one of the greatest philosophers of our time, Winnie the Pooh, when asked how to spell a certain emotion, you don't spell it, you feel it. However, spelling and pronouncing Hygge is the easy part. Explaining exactly what it is, that's the tricky part. Hygge has been called everything from the art of creating intimacy, coziness of the soul, and the absence of annoyance, to taking pleasure from the presence of soothing things, cozy togetherness, and my personal favorite, cocoa by candlelight. Hygge is about an atmosphere and an experience, rather than about things. It is about being with the people we love, a feeling of home, a feeling that we are safe, that we are shielded from the world and allow ourselves to let our guard down. You may be having an endless conversation about the small or big things in life, or just be comfortable in each other's silent company, or simply just be by yourself, enjoying a cup of tea. One December, just before Christmas, I was spending the weekend with some friends at an old cabin. The shortest day of the year was brightened by the blanket of snow covering the surrounding landscape. When the sun set around 4 in the afternoon, we would not see it again for 17 hours, and we headed inside to get the fire going. We were all tired after hiking and were half asleep, sitting in a semicircle around the fireplace in the cabin, wearing big jumpers and woolen socks. The only sounds you could hear were the stew boiling, the sparks from the fireplace, and someone having a sip of their mulled wine. Then one of my friends broke the silence. "Could this be any more Hygge?" he asked rhetorically. "Yes," one of the girls said after a moment, "if there was a storm raging outside." We all nodded. The key to happiness. I have the best job in the world. I study what makes people happy. At the Happiness Research Institute, which is an independent think tank focusing on well-being, happiness, and quality of life, we explore the causes and effects of human happiness and work towards improving the quality of life of citizens across the world. We're based in Denmark, and yes, we do have lit candles at the office Monday to Friday. And yes, our office was partly chosen because of the Hygge factor. No fireplace, though, yet. But we were also founded and are based in Denmark because the country consistently ranks among the happiest nations in the world. Denmark is by no means a perfect utopia, and the country faces challenges and issues like any other country. But I do believe Denmark can be a source of inspiration for how countries can increase the quality of life of their citizens. Denmark's position as one of the happiest countries in the world has created a lot of media interest. On a weekly basis, I'm asked questions like, why are the Danes so happy? And what can we learn from the Danes when it comes to happiness? From journalists from the New York Times, the BBC, the Guardian, the China Daily, and the Washington Post, among others. In addition, delegations of mayors, researchers, and policymakers from all corners of the earth frequently visit the Happiness Research Institute in pursuit of, well, happiness, or at least in pursuit of the reasons for the high levels of happiness, well-being, and quality of life people enjoy in Denmark. To many, it is quite the mystery as, besides the horrific weather, Danes are also subject to some of the highest tax rates in the world. Interestingly, there is a wide support for the welfare state. The support stems from an awareness of the fact that the welfare model turns our collective wealth into well-being. We're not paying taxes. We're investing in our society. We are purchasing quality of life. The key to understanding the high levels of well-being in Denmark is the welfare model's ability to reduce risk, uncertainty, and anxiety among its citizens and to prevent extreme.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?